And listen to the Psalm of Thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that all the people who dwell on earth would indeed sing to You with a cheerful voice the words of this psalm. Father, we pray for that great day when the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we know that as we wait for that day, You call us to have hearts full of gratitude. Help us to learn from this psalm how to give thanks to You. And help us not only to learn how to do it, but to do it, to put it into practice. Make us a grateful people through even this sermon, we ask. Father, we need Your help. We need Your strength. We know that You are God and that You made us and we belong to You. We are within Your courts now. Help us to listen to what You have to say to us there. Lord, we pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, some of you know that one of my pet peeves is holiday celebrations that have nothing to do with the reason the holiday exists. And so many and many of us have gone to a Labor Day party where the word labor unions was never mentioned. But worse than that is a Thanksgiving Day celebration in which our political leaders urge us to give thanks to God Almighty, in which the word gratitude is not mentioned, in which there's no time set aside to offer thanks to God, in which, for all you know, or all you could tell by the celebration, it seems to be a celebration of having a lot of food and very little else. The Word of God, though, gives us an entire chapter, this psalm, that contains directions for Thanksgiving. Here's how to celebrate Thanksgiving, verses 1 to 4, and then verse 5, why to celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, obviously, King David or whoever wrote this psalm was not thinking that in 3,000 years there would be a nation on the earth that had a particular holiday known as Thanksgiving Day. But the directions of this psalm are relevant to us. They tell us how to give thanks, what it looks like to give thanks to God. It's a text uniquely valuable for what our political leaders and our cultural heritage tell us to do on the fourth Thursday of November. Well, the point of this sermon is simple. Give thanks the biblical way this year. Give thanks the biblical way. So how do you celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, the title indicates that it certainly is appropriate to celebrate Thanksgiving with this psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving, or a psalm for giving thanks. The word translated thanks here is usually rendered thanks, occasionally praise, but no other psalm, as I said, has this title. No other psalm is specifically about the action of directing gratitude towards God. Now, the titles are original. The titles are part of the inspired text. They come down to us in the Hebrew Bible. They're actually rendered as the first verse rather than as a title before the verses begin. Anyway, we know that the one who wrote this psalm, whoever it was, intended for it to be used to direct the giving of thanks to God. So what does he say? The first thing you need to have at Thanksgiving is joy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yes, life is downright sorrowful and bleak for many people on this planet, even some people in this country, even some people right here in the city limits of Gillette. But this day is not political problems day. It's not get ready for totalitarianism day. It is Thanksgiving day. It's a day not to think about how awful things are, but rather a day to be filled with gladness. And why is that? Why do we make a joyful noise to the Lord? Not necessarily because of the circumstances. Right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord when things are going really well. But make a joyful noise to the Lord because He is the Lord. This gladness in our hearts comes from the character of our God. We can celebrate Thanksgiving with joy no matter what the circumstances are, because no matter what the circumstances are, God is the same God. God is worth praising and giving thanks to. So we celebrate this day with gladness, ultimately because our Lord is glad. We imitate His attitude. He is joyful and He asks us to be like Him, to be joyful. Well, this psalm is not tone deaf or insensitive to the miserable. It's not, right, like Jesus said, the generation that does the wrong thing. We sang, we played a happy tune for you and you wouldn't dance. We sang a mournful song and you wouldn't mourn with us. It's not coming to somebody miserable and saying, come on, cheer up, in a mean way. Rather, it's saying you, even you, in your miserable condition, whatever's going wrong, even if you see your nation slipping away, your family slipping away, your health slipping away, God is still a joyful God. And He's still your God, and therefore you can and should be joyful. To put it more provocatively, Halloween is the devil's holiday, where we get all sad, look at skeletons and spiders and the symbols of death. But Thanksgiving is God's holiday, where He calls us not to meditate on sin and darkness and depravity and gloom, but on light and joy and feasting and gratitude. So make a joyful noise. It is Thanksgiving Day. But furthermore, we celebrate Thanksgiving not just with joy, but also with others. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Thanksgiving is in principle a day to be shared. Whether we look at the historical origins with our pilgrim forefathers meeting with the Native Americans in New England and celebrating together with them, or whether we want to look at, well, what the text says, all the earth, all the lands, act of gratitude is an inclusive activity. That's why it's appropriate, of course, to invite people to share Thanksgiving with you. It's something traditionally that we do together. Because if I'm truly grateful, I want you to share that gratitude. Whereas if my gratitude is really selfishness, right? Better him than me. Boy, I'm glad this year that I didn't lose my job, that I didn't get COVID, that I'm not in a country that's been on lockdown for 8 solid months with police outside to beat people in the street, which is what they've done in the Philippines, in Uganda, in certain other places around the world where they just take their truncheon to you if they see you out and about breaking lockdown. Right? You can sit here and say, well, I'm glad that I'm not there. But that's not real gratitude. That better him than me attitude is selfishness. Real gratitude says, I want the whole earth to feel what I feel. I want the whole earth to be grateful to the God who created this planet and put us here. And that's why the psalmist calls on the whole earth. And also, this is a promise that at the last day, when every knee bows, every tongue confesses, the whole earth will raise this joyful shout. Right, Thanksgiving Day is an anticipation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the whole earth will be glad in the presence of the King. So do it with joy, do it with others, do it with singing. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Now, Ephesians tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Both here in Psalm 100 and in Ephesians 5, we see this connection between the presence of God on one side and singing on the other. They go together. One, you can start with the presence of God. I come into God's presence. I am filled with joy by the presence of God. And that comes up and out of my throat in song. Generally, though, it's easier to start the other way, which is how this psalm and Ephesians 5 present it. I start to sing, and as I sing, that brings me into the presence of God. Come before his presence with singing. How do I know that the word of Christ is dwelling in me richly? How do I know that the Spirit of Christ is in me? It's when I'm speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. And, as Ephesians adds, and being thankful. It's appropriate to celebrate Thanksgiving with singing. That is often how we can objectively and subjectively enter and feel the presence of God. So we have a nice collection of hymnals on the back shelf. Right? Borrow some. Take them home. And at your Thanksgiving celebration this week, sing a few songs of gratitude to enter into the presence of our God. The candy store can fill my 4-year-olds with bouncing steps and literal shouts of joy. Can the presence of Almighty God do the same for us, or are we too old, tired, and dignified? No, I can't rejoice. It's just God Almighty. Come before his presence with singing. And also, do it with the knowledge of God. Know that Yahweh, he is God. Why do we have to have the knowledge of God to give thanks? What is this psalm saying? That agnostics can't celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, in a certain sense, yes, it is saying that. A few months ago, a family in this church gave to another individual in this church $500 anonymously for dental work. Now, can the person who received an anonymous gift of $500 to get his tooth fixed, can he send a thank you note to his benefactors, whoever they may be? Is it possible, when you're the recipient of an anonymous gift, to thank in the same way the person who gave you the gift? It's not. Right? The agnostic can sit down to his big old turkey and say, thanks, whatever, whoever might be out there. He can feel some genuine gratitude. But I think we can all agree that a bespoke ceremony of thanksgiving that's custom tailored to the joys and preferences of the one you're thanking is more honoring is a better expression of gratitude than kind of the shotgun, whatever, whoever, whenever, thanks, I think. So know that He is Yahweh. You have to know His name in order to thank Him properly. If I don't know the name of the one who gave me this earth to enjoy, if I don't know the name of the one who saved me from sin, how can I thank Him? Right? God doesn't have an address or a phone number. He has a name. And if you have the name, you can talk to Him. Call upon Him by name. So it says, know, Yahweh, that He is God. In order to give thanks, we need to know Him and specifically know His name. Right? What does a name mean? It means that the person is just that, a person. Most of you have tools that you use in your daily work. I certainly do. I dare say none of you, at the end of the day, sincerely thank your tool for its role in the day's production. Right? My computer sat there and helped me type out this entire sermon, tonight's sermon, and a bunch of other things. I didn't thank my computer one time this week for the hours that it put in. If you use a crowbar or a car or a musical instrument, I dare say none of you thought of thanking those things. They don't have names. They're not sentient. They're not persons. They don't know that they're working. But if you know that Yahweh is God, then you have somebody to thank. Right? Does the universe know that it put a fat turkey on my table? But Jehovah knows. Yahweh knows. He knows, and that's why He gave it to me. Is your Thanksgiving celebration centered around the God you know? Should a Jew, Muslim, or Hindu be there sitting and dining with you? Would he look at what is done and what is said and say, this is a Christian Thanksgiving? Right? If not, are you knowing that Yahweh is God? Are you giving thanks to Him as He has revealed Himself to us? See, you have to not only know His name, that He is Yahweh, you have to know what He is, His nature, that He is God. The other gods, therefore, are not God. Again, the agnostic can't know this. You dishonor your Creator if you act as though He is nothing more than a small-time benefactor, somebody who's given you a little bit of this or a little bit of something else. Right, if I receive a toothpick, the thanks that I give is different than the thanks I give when I receive a car. Size of the gift matters for the size of the gratitude. Which one will love Him more? Well, the one who gave Him more. Right? The Pharisee knew that, told Jesus that. If I have received my existence, if I know that He is God, and I know that He made me, how large will my gratitude be? Right? In making you and giving you life, God gave you everything that you have. If you're dead, you can't experience any of this. You can't know any of this. And like I said, Halloween is the devil's holiday, but Thanksgiving, we don't have dead people at the table. God made us, and our gratitude covers that. We know that He made us, and we know that we are His people. It is He who made us, and King James, New King James say, not we ourselves. Most other translations say, and we are His. Now, both in Hebrew, not us is low, and to Him is also low. Spelled differently, but same pronunciation. So some manuscripts say one lo and some say the other lo, not us or to him. You know, both are true, of course, but I think it's the to him that's correct. He made us and we are to him. That is, we belong to him. We are his. In order to celebrate Thanksgiving Day, you have to have this sense of being part of the people of God. The truth of belonging is one of the preconditions of gratitude. If you're not connected to something, to someone, to the group, you're focused not on gratitude, but on survival. He made us. We are his. Therefore, we are grateful. We have that gratitude as we recognize, wow, I'm not on my own. I don't have to spend Thanksgiving eating tuna out of the can with a spoon by myself. No, we are his. We belong. We are part of his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. What does it mean to be the sheep of his pasture? Well, it means that God feeds us. And he leads us to the place where the forage is, and he makes sure we get it. That's the shepherd's job, to keep the flock alive and growing and reproducing. He made us, and he takes care of us. And that is why we are grateful. God feeds us, of course, with our daily bread. He also feeds us with spiritual food. What we're doing right now, a bunch of sheep with our heads down grazing in the pasture. Because God feeds us with his word. So what do? We know that the Lord is God. We give thanks with the knowledge of God and with knowledge of ourselves as his people. And we do that preeminently, verse 4 says, in corporate worship. Enter his gates and his courts. His gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Where does God have gates? Where does God have courts? Well, in the Jerusalem temple. There were gates in the front. There was a big courtyard and then another courtyard. God is there. And again, we come into his presence. Not today by traveling to the city of Jerusalem, but rather by coming where his people are. That's what the New Testament says. We are the temple of the living God, built as living stones in that temple. So we come into his presence, his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. What is thanks? Here we've been talking about it for 23 minutes. To give thanks is, I would say, the response to a gift that says, I don't deserve this. The person who gave this to me is incredibly gracious and generous. Gratitude is the opposite of entitlement. Enter God's gates with that attitude. Wow, I didn't deserve any of this. I didn't have to be given this. This is all gravy. This is beyond anything I could have asked. That's what gratitude is. And that has to be our attitude coming to church. You think this would solve a lot of church conflicts? Would prevent church splits? If we could enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What is praise? It's talking about how good God is. Saying wonderful things about him. Now, gratitude is a response to something you've been given. Praise doesn't necessarily have to deal with something that you even have. Right? I can say very good things about the quality of Samsung screens without owning one, without being given one. I can just recognize that they're an excellent product. Similarly, do you have this disinterested attitude toward God that you want to praise him. I don't have anything. I'm poor, but I praise God for his bounty. God is a generous God. Even if I feel like I haven't gotten much from him. Now, if you feel that way, you're wrong. Right? You have breath. You have life. That already is way more than you could ask. But enter his courts with praise. Not just thanksgiving, but praise-giving. Don't let the conversation ride entirely on how rotten the country is. Make sure that part of what you talk about is how good our Father is. Yeah, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. The whole world lies in the wicked one. We'll get there in 1 John in 2 weeks. True enough. But what about the God who made the world? What about the things that are not from the world, that are from the Father? Can you praise him for those? Be thankful to him and bless his name. To bless someone is to wish good things to come to them. It's the opposite of cursing. A curse is, you are so evil, I pray that bad consequences fall on your head. Blessing is, you are so good, I pray that good things come to you and build you up. Bless God's name. Say, God, you're so good. I wish every good thing in the world would happen to you. Why? Why do we give thanks like this? With joy, with others, with singing, with the knowledge of God, with corporate worship? Well, because the Lord is good. We say that sometimes. He's a good guy. How much more true of it? There is one only who's good, that is God. The Lord is good. No qualifications on that. No buts. No ifs. No ands. Just he's good, full stop. And that in itself is plenty of reason to give thanks. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. This word mercy is a loaded word. The word hesed, translated loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, faithfulness. That quality of God's endures. He will never change in his goodness and in his love. Right? Unconditional love means just that. You can't throw it off. You can't get rid of it. Now, that's not to deny the truth of apostasy. People do fall away, but the love of God, like God himself, is unchangeable. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Summer's lease has all too short a date, says Shakespeare. We can apply this truth of God's faithfulness to say, what should you invest in? What should you build into? What should you give your life to? How does it sound to say the NASDAQ endures to all generations? Right. The longest lived human institution is the Roman Catholic Church, been around 1,700 years. Other than that, longest lived institutions are some 400 to 500 years old. Some would claim that the British Parliament is up there, maybe 1,100 years old. That's a lot of generations. That's nowhere near all generations. Only the Lord, whom we gather to give thanks to, only he endures to all generations. So why should we thank him? It doesn't hurt to send a letter to Butterball and say thanks for the turkey. But they're not going to endure to all generations. God is. We love to get together at Thanksgiving and see our ancestors. God is the God who provides not only for previous generations, but for all the generations to come. For our children and our children's children. So thank God. Without him, we wouldn't exist. Without him, we wouldn't have each other. Without him, we'd have no reason to show gratitude. He's God. We're his people. So let's give thanks the biblical way this week. Let's pray. Father, teach us to be thankful to you and bless your name because you are good, because your mercy endures forever, and your truth to all generations. Your truth will never change, fade away, decay, or get rotten or outdated. Father, give us hearts of gratitude. Destroy, annihilate the entitlement mentality that lurks in our hearts, otherwise known as arrogance, otherwise known as a bad attitude. Father, root that out of us mercilessly. If that requires making us sick on Thanksgiving so we can't eat anything, do it, Lord. Help us to hate this entitlement mentality, to stop thinking that we're entitled to our health, to our friends, to our family, to our money, to our country, to all your other gifts. Give us instead that attitude of gratitude that lives in your Son and in your Spirit. We give thanks to you, Father. We bless your name because you are good. Thank you that you shared your goodness with us this morning and are about to continue to share it at this table to which we now turn. In Jesus' name, amen.